past eight. The government has announced it's expanding its scheme to deport foreign criminals who've had their claims to live in the UK rejected before their appeal is heard. So the Deport Now, Appeal Later scheme is being increased from 8 to 23 countries, Australia, Canada and India, some of the new names on the list. It means more foreign nationals, including convicted criminals, could be deported before their asylum or human rights appeals are heard. The government says the change will ease pressure on prisons. Dr. S. Shelvan is a human rights barrister and head of immigration and public law at 33 Bedford Row and adjunct professor at Southampton Law School. Morning.
Good morning, Rick.
What do you make of this idea?
Well, it's amazing if you had a cat being taught new tricks. I mean, Deport Now, Appeal Later, it was actually a scheme started by the Conservative government in 2014. But there's three issues which arise from it. First of all, where are the voices of victims? Secondly, what about British children? And thirdly, what about risk on return? So, for example, this new scheme is following the independent sentencing review in May. Now, there was 1,033 responses and calls for evidence in the eight-week window from November last year to January this year. Out of the 1,033 responses, only 265 were from prisoners, ex-prisoners and members of the family. But where were the victims? So currently, somebody can be deported or have deportation proceedings against them 50% into their sentence at half time. Now it's going to be reduced to 30%, and then out of the Reform Party playbook, after sentencing it itself. Now, where is the right, the voice of the victim here in relation to punishment? Because there's a difference between deportation and repatriation. Are those prisoners going to be serving the rest of their sentence in prisons abroad, or are they just going to be let free in their country of origin? So that's the first issue which needs to be considered. Secondly, British children. The courts have been very clear. And when we're looking at Article 8 on private and family life, on the balancing exercise, you do not take into consideration the seriousness of crime or the history of criminal activities of the parent. And we call it the undue harshness test. So the issue here is that when the courts have looked at this Deport Now and Appeal Later process, beforehand looking at Article 8 rights and saying that people can give evidence from abroad, this issue still does not tackle the issue of the innocence of British children. And the third issue, looking at the list of countries, Lebanon is a failed state. You know, so therefore, if there's a risk of torture and human or degrading treatment, then this scheme would not apply to the returning prisoner. Look at India. I was only there a couple of years, weeks ago. Beautiful country. But look at the evidence in relation to prison conditions. So, you know, teaching a cat new tricks, as your story later on this morning is going to be talking about, this is just a sort of cosmetic, knee-jerk sort of an announcement by the government to try and look tough on crime when it doesn't actually address the core issues.
Well, we'll come to the core issues in a moment. Do you have any concerns about whether people who are deported under this scheme would be able to properly appeal from abroad, so practically?
Well, the issue before which the courts have looked at is in relation to ability to give evidence. So, for example, there are various bilateral agreements, for example, in different states where individuals cannot give evidence from abroad. One of the countries, for example, which I've had experience of it is in Pakistan, and you know, you look at individual countries, but that issue has been resolved and the government has taken steps to look at that. So but in relation, that's a practical technical issue, but in relation to difference with respect to the person being in the country, being able to access lawyers and being able to feel that their case has been properly heard, that's a different issue.
That's kind of what I mean. Not necessarily like, are they going to be able to get on a Zoom call, but are they going to be able to do it in as thorough a way and effective a way as they would if they were still in the UK?
Well, I don't believe so, but I think the courts have taken a different view, and you know, MOJ provided safeguards in relation to that. I think the issue really here is that, you know, the drastic change in the Deport Now appeal later scheme announced yesterday is the issue in relation to deporting foreign national prisoners not halfway through the sentence, but even you know, a third way through the sentence, and looking at directly after sentencing. I mean, where are the voices of victims? Where do we have the punishment criteria in relation to, you know, victims feeling that individuals are actually being punished for their crimes?
And is there anything that can be done about that? Because your fear, if I'm understanding it correctly, is that someone could be deported from the UK after they've served maybe a third of their sentence, and then there is no guarantee that when they get to their home country or the country where they were born, they will serve any more time.
Well, more importantly, for example, you know, clearly with this scheme, unlike previous conduct of the Home Office, they're going to be able to be transparent and give information to the receiving state regarding the nature of crime and the criminal conviction. Those individuals will be flagged up through the processes. For example, if they have a passport, if they don't have a passport, what is called an emergency travel document, by the High Commission or embassy here in London, and they're flagged up on return, and either or have the scenario when they're received at the airport to be asked about what they've been doing in the UK and declare. Then there'll be in a lot of these countries. You look at Malaysia as another example. You have processes where you'll be detained on arrival. One can only speculate, but that's the sort of logical reasoning, to be investigated by the processing state over there. And that in itself gives rise to a risk on return. So, you know, a lot of these, I was looking through these countries, and a lot of these countries surprised me. As I said, Lebanon is a failed state, Indian overcrowding. So a lot of these countries, on the basic principle, looking at the country background information, would fail on the deport now, appeal later, because it won't be limited to Article 8.
Presumably, these countries that have agreed to sign up to this scheme know that the numbers involved are actually going to be very low.
So, Rick, where's the evidence that they've agreed to be part of the scheme?
So do not assume that they have.
This is the thing. So, for example, you know, what is called the Safe Country List, which is on Schedule 1 of the Illegal Migration Act 2023, includes countries such as Rwanda. I mean, you know, the point being here is by a case by case basis, and we've had litigation in the UK. There's a case in the UK Supreme Court called Brown. So, for example, the Safe Country List, it does include Jamaica, and we know that those people who are gay or lesbian or perceived to be gay or lesbian are at risk, and that's a case which was won by the litigants here before the Supreme Court, which says that Jamaica's not safe. So please don't presume that any of these countries have signed up. I haven't seen any evidence of that, but importantly...
Is it likely that they wouldn't have been consulted at all about it, though? That seems extraordinary.
I wouldn't be able to say. I have no knowledge or information on that, but from a practical viewpoint, it is quite clear that in the cases I've been involved in, and I clearly won't be talking about cases I'm currently involved in, the Home Office has been very clear that they don't inform the receiving state of the individual's conviction or the nature of the convictions.
And just going back to what you said a bit earlier about this not really tackling the core issues, what are those core issues in your view?
Well, the core issues in relation, we're saving this. Well, the core issue is this Labour government basically playing out of the reform right wing playbook. We should be looking at the issues in regarding to protection, asylum and migration, by looking at the UK's obligations to international treaties, not only the European Convention on Human Rights, but as the Supreme Court said in the Rwanda judgment, November 2023, UN Convention Against Torture, the International Civil Covenant on Political Rights, and also, most importantly, the Refugee Convention. So we should be going back to what British values of acceptance and tolerance, and making sure that individuals who come to the country and seek sanctuary are provided sanctuary. But with respect to the FNOs, the specific issue here is that where are the voices of the victims? You know, the Independent Sentencing Review in itself said only 1,033 responses in the Court of Evidence, no evidence that there was a sizable number of responses where the voice of the victim was heard.
Well, good to get your thoughts this morning. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dr. S. Chalvan there, human rights barrister and head of immigration and public law at 33 Bedford Road.